to the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
And I'm Kat.
And it is, Kat, while I am very happy you are here, it's disappointing Anne is not, because this is episode number 50 of the Extra Magic Hour.
Oh my gosh, I'm disappointed that she's not here either.
Ah, what are you going to do?
She needs to move!
Good riddance to bad rubbish, I say. All right, what's in the news this week?
So the first news story is that it's kind of two news stories together. It's about Doctor Strange. So the first is that there's a preview, a 10-minute sneak peek coming to the theater in One Man's Dream in Hollywood Studios. And at Disneyland, guests will be able to see the previews at Sunset Showcase Theater in California Adventure. And if you don't know what Doctor Strange is, which I'm not 100% sure either, but here it says it's the world-famous neurosurgeon Dr. Stephen Strange, who, in his quest for healing after a horrific car accident, discovers powerful magic in a mysterious place. Yeah.
Yes. So it is Marvel's version of The Matrix and Inception. Have you seen the trailer yet?
I've seen glimpses. It's just, this didn't catch my eye. Even though it's a Marvel movie, it just hasn't caught my eye.
I'm sure it will be entertaining, and I know that the reality bending different dimensions is part of the Doctor Strange story. I think it is not a good thing when your story is already very similar to Inception that you take out the same money moment from the trailer of walking through the city upside down. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad movie. Even if it is a direct ripoff of Inception, I love Inception, so I would be okay with that a little bit. But it's very odd. It was just a very odd thing for a studio that really loves to play up the originality of its movies.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember that part of the trailer, and I agree. I was like, where did I see this before? But now that you say Inception, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But along with this is that Disney's auditioning for actors to portray Doctor Strange for a limited engagement appearance this fall. There's not a lot of details, but auditions will be taking place next week. So if you are in Orlando or in the Orlando area and you are a man who has Doctor Strange looks, then go sign up for an audition.
If you look like Benedict Cumberbatch would be the opportune thing there. This is weird that they are bringing a Marvel character into the park. Now, I think they are allowed to do this up until the next Avengers movie, where a lot of these characters, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy, are going to be tied into the Avengers franchise, then they have to really sort of revisit that contract with Universal. But I think this is still the first... Well, no, I guess this isn't the first time that Marvel characters have come in, because they did that Guardians of the Galaxy dance party back when the movie first came out.
Oh, I don't remember that.
There were only two or three of them, only two or three characters that were a part of it, but... Yeah, okay, well, I was about to say this is odd. They haven't done this in Orlando before, but never mind. Disregard.
Okay. Yeah, it says, it's just a limited engagement. And so, who knows, maybe it's only from, let's say, the first week of October when they start previewing the movie until, I guess, how long do they keep those previews up after the movie actually comes out? Another couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think so. I guess it also sort of depends on what the next thing is they have lined up. You know what's weird about this, and maybe I just don't have the release dates right in my head, it's weird that they're not doing Moana instead of Doctor Strange for the preview.
And Moana comes out Thanksgiving week. I don't know if it's actually Thanksgiving, but it's that week. And so I'm really surprised at that too. But we haven't gotten... Oh no, we did just get a new trailer. Just kidding. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just odd because I don't know that... You know, the first time they did this, right, was when they replaced the movie at One Man's Dream with the Good Dinosaur preview, right? I can't remember them doing one before that.
No, Inside Out came before.
Oh, did they do a preview for Inside Out there?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, well, still, both of them being animated, both of them being Pixar, which is, I think, the brand a lot of people think of when they think about, innovation in animation. Like, that ties back to the Walt Disney story. This is an odd one to me. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a good movie. All the Marvel ones have so far. This is a poor fit, I think, for that theater.
Well, and you know, like, I'm going to be really disappointed because I love that One Man's Dream video. Like, yeah. I cry every time that I see it. And this is going to be happening while I'm down there. So it's just one less reason for me to cry while down there.
This is, I wonder if this is about, you know, it makes sense to do this in California Adventure as they are waiting for Marvel Land to sort of get that jump start with Tower of Terror officially becoming the Guardians of the Galaxy attraction. I wonder if this is just a matter of we have it on one park, so let's put, it's an easy thing to put in the other one.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. What else is in the news?
So Disney, we have another patent, and it's they filed a patent for specialty light bulbs that would be able to project animated imagery onto surfaces in guest hotel rooms.
Huh.
In theory. So basically how they explain like comparing it to a video game on a TV screen. It's not really immersive. Like, it's fun, but like you're not really experiencing it firsthand. And so this would be something that you could experience all around the room, so like on the walls and everything, and it doesn't say if it's four games, but it's something so you can be immersed into a virtual reality basically in your room.
That is pretty cool. Now it's going to be interesting to see where they put this, because you're going to need, I would imagine, in order to get every single effect, you would need to have plain white walls.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, in Port Orleans Riverside in the Tiana Suites, they have like a little scene in the in the headboard of the bed that is like fireworks over the bayou. They really, I mean, you press a button on the side of the headboard and the little fireworks go off. So it's nothing nearly like this, but I do like the idea of bringing more of that kind of stuff, animated scenes, into the room.
Yeah, no, I think those are lots of fun, and I think this would be really cool. I would just be interested to see if this is a patent that actually moves forward.
Yeah, absolutely, because the other thing you have to think about, too, with this patent is, and this idea and technology and all that kind of stuff, is it is going to require some pretty expensive equipment going in the rooms.
Yeah.
And whether Disney wants to leave that, A, the possibility that it could be stolen, but B, more than that, yeah, I mean, let's, you know, the stereotype is pretty much true. Most Disney hotel rooms are occupied with children. What are the chances that your multi-thousand-dollar piece of equipment is going to go unmolested by little hands?
Yeah, well, from what it seems like, so it's like projections, I guess, and it looks like, oh, okay, sorry, I see a picture now. So it would be in your lamp.
Okay.
And I guess with mirrors, or I don't know, because I don't understand how science and physics works.
Sure.
But the light from the lampshade goes in all directions, and so that's how it's gonna go all over the room. So it's touching, or it's the lampshade, which, I mean, I understand kids can reach those too, but I think it'd be a little more safe, I guess, than like something that's on the floor, on the wall.
Yeah, I guess also too, it coming from the lamp, maybe I'm underestimating what the Imagineers can do, but it may not be as sophisticated as we are making it sound like it is.
Right.
All right, what else is in the news?
One last news story before our weekly rumor. So this is an interesting post that has shown up on the Disney Auditions website, another audition, but this is still something very interesting. They're seeking both male and female comedic and interactive actors for a role in The Citizens of Hollywood. And this is what makes it interesting, because if you remember, in April, they cut 10 positions, and so we don't know if the people who lost those jobs were, like, offered to bring their role back, but it's presumed that these costs were cut because of Shanghai, and now that Shanghai's open and going, that they can bring these citizens back.
Huh. Well, I mean, I hope that's the case because so many of them have been there for so long, and I know that those cuts affected some of those more more tenured cast members. But it's good. I mean, I just think it's good that they are bringing more of those Streetmosphere characters back to Hollywood studios because that was for so long has been such a big part of that park's appeal.
I love those characters, and like I'm one of those people who's like stop and stare like street performers, and just one story I remember from senior year of high school. I went down with my friend and my mom, and the guy was like, he's like one of those mind reader magician people. He was like, think of a name, and so she thought of a name, my friend, and he like put out five cards, and he was like, is it a five-letter name? And she was like, yeah. And then I forget exactly what happened, but he was able to guess the name, and it was her dog's name. And so we were just like, how, like, it is completely random, and I just think it's so cool.
Well, those, you know, along those lines too, you talk about you can stop and stare. I'm not somebody, you know, when my wife and Anne go to do Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster, usually I don't do them with him. I'm not that kind of thrill ride person, but right. I can, yeah, true. I don't hide it. I'll walk up and down Sunset Boulevard, and the Streetmosphere characters that gather right outside of the sweet shop there, I can watch the entire show and be very satisfied with the way I chose to spend my time.
Yeah, like they are, I don't know, I think they're entertaining, and I guess that means they're doing their job well, so.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and our I can't remember his name. I was about to call him our friend, but it would be unfair to do that considering I can't remember the man's name. But the one who was who's the former Dreamfinder that was on when we did the Walt's Frozen Head episode, the one playing Walt Disney, in his book talked about the difference between being in that troupe versus teaching the version of the Streetmosphere characters over at Universal how to interact. It was just very interesting stuff and gave me a whole new appreciation for that part of theme park entertainment.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. I just can't remember his name either. Yeah, I think this will be interesting, and I'm excited. Hopefully they roll out soon.
Ron Schneider is the man's name.
Yep, that sounds familiar.
All right. Well, we have our rumor, right?
Yes. So our rumor is that Rider Stop at Disney's Hollywood Studios is going to close September 25th. It was originally reported to close in April with the rest of Streets of America, but it didn't. And so here it is. It doesn't really explain why, but I'm guessing, you know, because the rest of Streets of America, people probably aren't going to it as often as they could, but.
And on top of that, I would think that right there, coming off of the sci-fi diner, would be a good place to put an entrance to Star Wars Land. That's just my guess. I don't know for sure. I have no reason to say that that's definitely happening.
Right. No, that would make sense though.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of rumors, I guess before we move on, let's talk about the half rumor, half confirmed story that Stitch's Great Escape moving to seasonal only operation, and the rumor is that a firm closing date can't be far behind.
I did see this, and I wasn't sure if we should report it because everybody has been talking about it. Like every Disney discussion group I'm on Facebook has been talking about it. But I cannot say that I'm sad.
No, why would you be? I mean, I guess this lends credence to the theory or to the previous rumor that it's right. going to be the Wreck-It Ralph ride, because what else? That space is so small. And I think that is probably more than anything else been what saved Stitch from the chopping block for so long, is there's not room really to do anything else until someone came up with the great idea for a virtual reality based attraction.
Right.
So very good. Well, yes, good good riddance to bad rubbish.
Yes.
All right. We have your emails to get to this week. Thanks so much for hanging out inside the Extra Magic Hour.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Hey guys, this is Corinne Chandler from Mousellaneous Discussions, the Disney television and movie talk show here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, reminding you that every Monday is Mousellaneous Monday on WDPN. Kate Smith, Kevin Kessler, and I pick a different Disney topic to discuss each week, ranging from top five lists to movie reviews to major announcements coming out of the Walt Disney Company. Then we close the show out with Kate's Disney Recipe of the Week, where she'll teach you how to make a variety of dishes only found in Walt Disney World, and I pose a trivia question to you all, meant to test your knowledge of all things Disney. So please tune in every Monday morning on iTunes, Stitcher, and WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com for a new and magical episode.
Nobody cares, Corinne.
Shut up, Kevin. I'm plugging your network.
Oh. Okay, keep going. I like your announcer voice.
Thank you. Mousellaneous Discussions on WDPN. Come join us and let's get magical.
All right, you can always email us, emhpodcast@gmail.com, emhpodcast@gmail.com. Every now and then we break open the email bag and we go through, pull out a few, and answer them. No Anne this week, so Kat, you will have to help me answer some of these.
That's fine, I've done it before.
All right, the first one from Rick in Mississippi. Hi guys, if I said I was wide open on when I could visit the park next year, what festival or special event would you say I could skip?
Okay, hold on. Repeat that again.
Okay, if I said I was wide open on when I could visit the park next year, what festival or special event would you say I could skip?
Okay. Whew. That is a hard one.
I would say, okay, so this is a tough one, like, because I like going that first week of, those first 2 weeks of December, because the decorations are up, and it's usually not as crowded as you would expect it to be for that time of year.
Yeah.
But I think that Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party is one of the, like, most easily skippable things that they do.
I remember you and Anne talking about it before.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Halloween party is good because of the parade and the fireworks. Nothing really wowed me about the Christmas party. I mean, you get free hot chocolate and cookies.
Yeah. This is hard for me because I've never done Very Merry Christmas Party, and I've never done Not So Scary, but I'm doing that this year. And the only special events that I can think of are Flower and Garden and Food and Wine, and I like both of them a lot.
Yeah.
So, well, and I don't exactly remember last time I went to Food and Wine, but just, like, prepping for this trip in October, I can already tell I'm going to love it. So I think if you are a big food person, then skip Flower and Garden Festival, but if food is not a big deal to you, go to Flower and Garden Festival because I love all the topiaries they put up.
Yeah, see, I think both of the Epcot festivals are really great, and so that's, for me, why it becomes then about the hard ticket events at Magic Kingdom, especially now that Star Wars weekends are no more. That would be the one I would go with, would be Very Merry.
Well, then I'll disagree with you, too.
Yeah, but again, like, that December, that two-week span in December is a great time to go. Just don't buy the extra ticket.
Yeah, that makes sense, too.
For Very Merry. All right, the next one from Natalie in South Carolina. Hi, guys. I listened to your talk about the redesigned Jasmine outfit last week and thought that it was a little silly that you dismissed that it could be a matter of cultural respect so quickly. Agrabah isn't a real place, but it is meant to stand in for so many different Middle Eastern countries. What is so wrong with Disney putting Arabic and Muslim cultures first? Natalie in South Carolina. I don't think we dismissed that, did we?
I don't think so. And if we did, I want to apologize because I know that has been something that I've seen on Tumblr. People who are Arabic like have said, you know, yeah, we like Jasmine as a person, but her costume or her outfit in the movie does not show our culture appropriately. So I get it. I didn't mean to dismiss it if I did or if we did, but
My guess is that Natalie might be talking about me saying that I've seen a number of dads be very creepy with Disney princesses. Right. I'm not dismissing the cultural sensitivity that Disney might want to be going for there. I completely believe that that's a big part of it. I'm just saying that you can say that. It's probably not in Disney's best interest to say, oh, and also dads are getting drunk and being very, very creepy with Jasmine at right. Epcot. No, I definitely think it is a cultural sensitivity thing, and I think Natalie makes a good point. I mean, Agrabah is not a real place, but it's certainly meant to stand in for that
Arabia.
Culture.
Yeah.
Well, I believe, if I remember correctly, I think that the movie was supposed to take place in Baghdad. But, you know, right around the time they were putting the finishing touches on the movie, the first Gulf War happened.
I think you are right. Production, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, definitely not. It is 100%. That is 100% a part of what was going on there for sure.
Yes.
Was the cultural sensitivity. I just think there was probably some consideration paid to really all of the characters that got redesigned of, you know what, these characters are in parks where there is alcohol, and where there is alcohol, there's not always a problem, but certainly guys get a little touchy.
Right. Also, just since we're talking about this, it might have been Tumblr, it might have been Facebook, I'm not 100% sure, but somebody asked Jasmine if this was her winter outfit, and her answer is, it's my outfit because the genie made me a new one and I like it, so I'm going to wear it.
Well, very good. So that'll put an end to the line of questioning very quickly.
Yes.
All right, the next one from Mike in Florida. Hi, everyone. Last week, you talked about the closing of Typhoon Lagoon Shark Reef and mentioned that you were disappointed. I was wondering if you could think of a way you could bring unique character or themed experiences into Typhoon Lagoon, or BB, at Blizzard Beach?
Right, yes.
Okay. That is why I usually skip them, Mike in Florida. Yeah, I mean, I guess outside of meeting characters, I don't know what you can do. I mean, these are all slides, right? It's not like, especially if you're getting rid of the Shark Reef, there's not a whole lot of time to look around and enjoy.
No, I agree. There was those Frozen Summer Games this summer at Blizzard Beach, and I think something like that could be fun. And like Kristoff and Olaf were there, but like you couldn't meet them. So I agree. Like if you can somehow meet characters, but honestly, like if I lived in Florida, maybe, and I had an annual pass, I'd maybe get an annual pass to the water parks as well. But I don't know. Maybe, well, no, they have a wave pool. I don't know. I don't go to water parks that often, so I don't know how to make them cooler.
No, I agree. I don't often either. I think along those same lines, man, is this right? I hope this is right before I say it. I believe they did something very similar with Lilo and Stitch when it came out over at Typhoon Lagoon, some sort of dance party, game celebration kind of thing. But again, it was not a meet and greet sort of experience.
Right.
I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach being their own thing with their own story to them. I think it's disappointing they got rid of what made Typhoon Lagoon unique in that way.
Right. No, I agree.
All right. Last one from Kevin in Alabama. Ferry, bus, monorail rank the ways to get into and out of the Magic Kingdom. All right, I'm going to go, so this one, this might surprise you. I will go monorail 1, bus 2, ferry 3 to get in.
Okay.
To get out, I will go ferry 1, bus 2, monorail 3.
Okay. I've never taken the ferry.
Really?
Maybe when I was younger, and I don't remember, because our family used to drive.
Uh-huh.
But, like, my earliest memories, we didn't drive. or going to Disney World, I remember always riding the Magical Express or like doing the bus.
Right.
So I think going in, well, okay, where would we be staying is the question, or does it not matter?
Well, I guess it doesn't matter because I don't think it matters. I think you just rank each mode of transportation, okay. Right? Because if you are staying at the Contemporary, walking beats all three of them.
Right, that's true. That's very true. Okay, I'm going to go... You know what? I think I'm going to kind of do the same. Coming in, monorail 1, bus 2, ferry 3. Just because I know the ferry makes like 10 million stops on the way to Magic Kingdom.
No, it doesn't. It goes straight.
What?
From the TTC straight to Magic Kingdom.
I thought it had to go to the Polynesian, too.
No. No, you're thinking of the monorail does that.
No, I thought there was a ferry that took you to the from the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian to...
There's a smaller, like a very small ferry that almost looks like the thing that takes you over to Tom Sawyer's Island. That takes you, I think, to Fort Wilderness and Wilderness Lodge.
Oh, maybe.
But that's a separate thing.
Okay, well, I'm still going to say Ferry 3, just because from other people I've heard, like, the ferry... there's only one ferry, isn't there?
There are two. But there's only one option at a time. Like, when one is at one dock, the other is at the other.
Okay, yeah. So I've heard that the ferry is very slow. So if you're like going into the Magic Kingdom, you definitely want to just get there as quickly as possible.
Right.
And then on the way back, I think once again I'm going to have to agree with you. Ferry 1, because it's always the least crowded.
Right, and there's the most space.
Right. And then bus 2. Like me, I would take the bus just because it will take me directly to my resort.
Right.
And I won't have a car down there, but the lines can get ridiculous. And then monorail 3, because I've seen those packed lines at the end of the night too, and I'm like, I'm kind of glad I don't have to go on the monorail.
Right, when you are waiting in a line just to go up the hill to get on the platform.
Yeah.
Like, nothing is more defeating at the end of a night in the Magic Kingdom.
Right, especially if you have like a stroller with you going up that platform.
Right, and then the people that came over from another park that have to get off at the TTC, go all the way down the ramp, back up the Epcot ramp to do it all again.
Yeah.
Ugh, no thank you.
Yeah, no thanks.
The monorail, I think, is only... And people, I think about doing the monorail because it's a part of your trip into the Magic Kingdom if you drove in from either off property or from, you know, locally.
Yeah.
But the monorail is, unless you are on a monorail resort, it is so overrated.
I like riding it. Like, last time when I went with my husband, we rode it. So we rode the monorail from Epcot to the TTC and then from the TTC to the Contemporary, just because he had never done it. And so it was just something fun, and it wasted a lot of time before our dinner reservation at Chef Mickey's.
Yeah. Well, you know where it's cool? Now, when you guys were living in Utah, did you ever go to Disneyland?
No, we really, really wanted to, but, you know, he was still in school, and
yeah,
we were poor college kids.
It is, their monorails are so much newer than the ones at Disney World, but they're more comfortable, too, and they actually take you a little bit off the property just because of the way Disneyland is built.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't want to say ruined Disney World's monorails for me, but after you've seen the ones at Disneyland and experienced that ride, it is... I mean, I guess it did kind of ruin the Disney World ones for me, because it's just sort of like, oh, this is the bigger theme park, and this is what we get.
Yeah.
You know, and occasionally it'll get a, you know, Zootopia wrap or Avengers wrap or something like that.
Right.
All right. Well, if you want to email us, emhpodcast@gmail.com. We will go through these again probably in a month or two, I'll say.
Hey, folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hey, WDPN listeners, this is Allie Eibler from the Geek Watchtower. And as you know, we live in the golden age of geek culture. With all the movies, television shows, comic books, video games encompassing the world of geekdom, it can be a real chore to keep up with all of it. Well, here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, we have a little something called the Geek Watchtower. Kevin Kessler, Chris Doherty, and I run down the latest geek news items every Friday morning for you, before we focus on a fandom feature topic of the week. We're talking about everything from Batman to the Avengers, anime, Doctor Who, Disney, Nintendo, and so much more. So make sure you join Kevin, Chris, and I every Friday morning in the Geek Watchtower, where we monitor all the things that geeks watch. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course at WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com.
The Extra Magic Hour is just about over. But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
So, Kat, you got your new magic bands today.
Yes, we're so excited for our trip. Well, I texted everybody a picture, and I was like, look what came!
Now, what name do you go with inside your magic band?
I go with Katarina.
Okay, very good. I know a couple of people that I've seen that go with nicknames or favorite character names. And
I have seen that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I find, like, if my magic band is not going to say my name, what's the damn point?
I just feel like, so, you know, most people call me Kat because it's easier to say than Katarina, but having it say Katarina is just so much more personal.
Right. Also, Katarina sounds more like a princess name.
That is true.
All right, so we were talking about this before we started recording, that you getting new magic bands today, maybe think of a topic that, if we've done this on the show before, I apologize, but it is one that really hit on something that just drives me crazy, because I don't understand why people don't see through it. What are the things you should never pay for at Disney World? What are the quote unquote souvenirs that they are just ripoffs? They're just shameless ripoffs.
Well, we talked about the decorated magic bands, like the ones that have the characters.
Right.
Or like there's one that has the like the Haunted Mansion wallpaper on
it.
Yeah,
like to me, there's no, like, that is the most blatant cash grab Disney has ever done.
Well, and the only people that I think could / should buy it are people who live in Florida. Cool to like have your own personal magic band from that. But the other thing I think is stupid, and it's magic band related, are those like little things that you stick in the holes, that like the decorative
stuff.
Oh,
right. Yes, it's very similar. It's almost like Disney's version of those dumb charms you stick in the holes of Crocs.
Yes, like I think they are stupid.
Agreed. Now, I've talked about this on the show before. I also don't get pin traders, but I recognize they are such a big army that I'm never going to say you people are dumb, because you could beat me up in a second.
I can agree with that, and the only reason I'm agreeing with that is because, like, so when we went, I don't even know, after my freshman year of high school, it was like the year of a million dreams or something.
Uh-huh.
And so at the end of the Great Movie Ride, everybody on that ride, and I don't know if it was like the whole day or if it was just us specifically, got a free pin trading set, like, and it only had 4 pins. And so, like, I was like a freshman, so I was dumb, And I was like, I'm going to start pin trading. And I think I bought like 4 pins within that trip and then like the next trip. And then now I'm like, why did I waste $40?
Yeah, that's pins? We have some good friends that are here in North Carolina that are Disney nuts like we are. And the wife of the couple does pin trading. And a couple of years in a row, Sally, my wife, had conferences down in Disney around Christmas time. So we would just get their gifts while we were down there. And because, you know, she was a pin trader, that was easy. I mean, it's easy to know what we're going to get for Sue. She's a pin trader. We're going to get her pins. And, I mean, like, after you get 2 or 3 pins and you're already at, like, $25.
Well, and also, like, there's a lot of pins that are pretty. And I want all the pretty pins. But I can't afford all the pretty pins because, of course, they're the most expensive tier.
Right. And the number of different places that have pins. Right. Like, who is going to go to the food court at Pop Century to get that pin if you're not staying there? Right? Like, they have made it impossible to ever to steal a phrase from Pokemon, catch them all. Anything else that pops to mind for you?
I'm trying to think. I really can't. There's one thing that I can think of, but I'm guilty of buying it, so, like, I don't know if it's I'm probably wasting my money, but I buy the charms for the charm bracelets, and they're like super expensive. They're like $3 a charm, but I always buy like 3 a trip.
So these aren't like the Pandora charms that you buy. At, no. Okay.
These are the cheap charms that are for like the little kids.
Oh, I always just assumed those were their own jewelry sets.
No.
Oh.
No, and they want to make you spend your money, so you buy their own bracelet, which is like $20 for a bracelet and like $36 for a necklace. But luckily, I've had my own bracelet since I was like in sixth grade or something, so I just keep on adding on to that. But I know every time I go there, there's just so many charms, and I'm just like, okay, this time I'm buying a Winnie the Pooh character and a princess and then a miscellaneous character. And like, I know it's done. Like, there is no rhyme or reason for all the characters I have on my charm bracelet.
So at this point, your charm bracelet probably looks like a heavy metal, like, cuff.
Well, I've had a couple of charms break, and then I've had 2 charms break, and then they, like, redesigned the princesses. Like, before, the princesses were 3D figures, and now they're all flat. Mm. And so I replaced 2 of those princesses. And so I think altogether I probably should have like 20, but because of the ones that broke, I only have like 15.
That's, you've spent $60 on this bracelet.
I know.
You were so...
I've been doing it since 7th grade, so...
All right, I mean, that's a little more justifiable, I guess, but you're still weird.
I know I am, and I know I'm going to buy 3 more charms this next trip.
All right, well, I mean, look, you have gotten, what, you're what, 24 now?
Yes.
Yeah, so you've gotten, what, 12 years of joy out of the same cost for one video game.
Let me tell you, and you, like, too bad you won't be there this next trip, because me choosing the charms, it is a fun event, because I have to go to, or if I go into a store, I have to see what charms they have, because there are some charms that they don't sell at every store.
Right. This is your Pop Century food court pin.
Yes, yes.
All right, Kat, anything else to add this week?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, again, you could always email us, emhpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.